Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Was Charlotte Flair's NXT Women's Championship run a bit pointless? I am Luke Cohen. This is Adam the Blompier with the Mostly. It's the YouTube comment section's new favorite WrestleTalk duo. And this is Adam's just realized that his microphone wasn't set up.
I hope it is.
It is. I can hear you just fine. And this is the WrestleTalk podcast review of NXT TakeOver In Yo House 2020. And we thought we'd kick this off with a chat about Charlotte Flair's NXT Championship run. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up was it actually came from Sean Ross Sapp, Quizzlemania heel Sean Ross Sapp. Because he noted on Twitter during the during sort of like the post-show thing, that the culmination of Charlotte's NXT booking will make sense in 3 to 4 months' time. However, as Sean points out, right now it looks like she won the Rumble over Shayna, minimized her Mania match, Shayna's Mania match, halted Rhea Ripley's momentum, and exhausted a bunch of champion versus champion matches without being pinned. And at the end of this, we didn't even get her, like Rhea didn't even get to beat her and win back the title. Instead, it was Io that won the title. So I'm all for, because like the one thing I would say about the main event is that like Charlotte Flair is amazing. Rhea Ripley is amazing. They had the best match at WrestleMania weekend, hands down for me. But Io Shirai is on a complete other level of good.
Yeah, I think we're in a weird nether space. You're right. I do think this is the first few steps of a longer Charlotte-based story. And I think most people can sort of see where it's going. Like, clue, it's got something to do with her dad. I thought they were going to put the belt on Rhea, because obviously there were a lot of talk of Io being called up to the main roster. That seems to be obviously on the back burner for now. Io's incredible. Like, everyone is pleased about Io Shirai being NXT Women's Champion. It does kind of lower Rhea a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially because I caught some of the pre-show. And I know that the pre-show is all spin, but like a lot of the chat around this triple threat in the pre-show and indeed on some other radio shows was like, Rhea needs to win this to kind of reassert herself. Because going into WrestleMania, everyone thought Rhea would retain. Not me, of course. I predicted.
Not me.
Yeah. But like a lot of people thought Rhea would retain because like we need to kind of solidify Rhea as this main event, like the next generation's kind of icon. And I thought that she was going to win it back to kind of like then have a rubber match with Charlotte. But no, like it seems that Rhea is now kind of, well, she does not deserve a title shot like definitively now, which is really sad.
Well, yeah, like the finish of this match was that Rhea was in the figure eight. So one would assume that Charlotte was possibly going to tap her out there. And then Io Shirai moonsaulted her into the face and pinned her. So like Rhea was doubly beat in this main event.
Yes.
But so yeah, so it just kind of raises the question about like, what did Charlotte's reign actually accomplish? Because my figuring was like when she won the NXT Women's Championship, I was so stoked. I thought it was a genius move because it puts Charlotte into NXT, which is having its ratings war with AEW. That's point one. So that's a good thing. You've got a big name on the show that you're trying to compete against the other company. Very, very smart move. But B, it elevates the title. And by elevating the title, it elevates the brand. And by elevating the brand, you elevate everyone else. So it elevates Rhea. It elevates Io Shirai. It elevates Shotzi, Dakota, all of the women on the NXT roster. But actually, kind of when you look back on it, it's like, huh, it was a whole bunch of nothing. And now she's not the champion anymore.
You say that. It did elevate Io. It elevated Io a lot. Like this match felt like the main event, and I felt like it should have been the main event. Like as the show was going on, I was like, "Are they really going to do the backlot brawl as the main?" Because I'm actually way more stoked about the women's triple threat. And yeah, it like, and then so Io winning that match is probably the best, one of the best coronations she could have had. Maybe not the circumstances. Maybe not in a triple threat. Maybe a singles would have been more prestigious. But like seeing those streamers. You know, close out a show. I think Io is in an amazing position now. Like, I think a lot of it is again WWE spin. But you look at the video package they had before that match, right? And they talked about Charlotte. You know, all the headlines that Charlotte had brought in as NXT champion. Obviously, like she didn't make a huge dip to the ratings. Although one can argue that you know, with no fans wrestling. Generally, people aren't as interested, so who knows? But like, apparently, she made headlines, drew focus to the title, like all of that kind of, you know, she was, you know, they did a thing on ESPN about her, like so. Apparently, that's WWE's kind of way of, oh, she definitely did draw loads more eyes to the championship, and now we have Io Shirai as this champion. It did not help by the fact that Charlotte was on every show.
No,
that really like they. I think there was a couple of things they could have done. Even having Charlotte's run end here to make it feel like they didn't bungle it. One was have Charlotte just be on NXT. But just like yeah, the hashtag OmniFlare is generally one of the kind of It's one of the worst things in recent wrestling, having Charlotte on every show.
She's the hardest working woman in sports, Adam.
Oh, I really didn't like it. I actually think it made the NXT Championship look a little bit worse because she was just sort of like carrying it as a trinket around. And like she was showing up on shows where the NXT Championship was not the focus. Like when she's on NXT, like, she's a huge deal carrying a title and talking about the title. When she's on Raw and SmackDown, she's a huge deal talking about their championships and, you know, doing champion versus, I don't know. I'm rambling, but yeah, it does feel a little lightweight. It doesn't help that there weren't like proper takeovers. Like, because, yeah, she had one singles match with Mia? And then a really truncated match with Io, and then this triple threat. Yeah, like I thought she was going to at least hold it till SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she was going to hold on to it till next year. Like I thought this was the whole idea of this was to try and elevate everything and give her a really long, lengthy reign and put someone over at the end of it. And like, I agree with you that I think that it's done a great deal for Io coming off the back of this. But I don't think I would say that Charlotte Flair put Io over in this feud, so to speak. And perhaps it's because it was in a triple threat match. Like, if this was a singles match, I think it would have been much better, like Io winning the title from a singles match. But then, yeah, I don't know. I think it also doesn't help that, as you say, she did two champion matches. She did one against Bayley and one against Asuka. And both of them had, like, DQ non-finishes written all over them. which doesn't help the title at all. And when she was on Raw cutting promos about NXT, there was no Io Shirai there. There was no Rhea Ripley on Raw. So it really establishes like, well, they're on NXT. They're the NXT thing. But Charlotte is this omnipresence that can be across all three brands because she's actually important. And that certainly doesn't help things. But it's one of these things, like if we are to believe the word of Triple H, that we will find out. It will make sense in 3 to 4 months' time. There's a Triple H's words.
Well, that's the thing is, I think NXT has sort of earned that. Like, I get that the fact that, you know, Charlotte is very main roster, and this all feels quite main roster. You know, the EODQ feel, you know, in order to prolong the feud and turn that into a triple threat, this doesn't feel quite so much NXT as it does Raw. So I think people are a little less certain about it. But I think if anyone has kind of earned the right to say we're taking our time with this, I do think it is an NXT. I do worry that when he says that, he's not talking about the plan for the title, he's talking about Charlotte's plan to, as quickly as possible, match her father's 16 world championship record.
Yeah, so I mean, do we think that she's going to stick around on NXT? Like, is she going to go back for the belt again? And like, when we get to TakeOver Brooklyn or whatever the NXT TakeOver is this year for over SummerSlam weekend, is Charlotte going to be going for the belt again? Or is she just done with that brand now?
3 to 4 months, right? Well, and what yeah. kind of time, what kind of time frame is that? So what, in 2 months' time, they'll be... So like, 3 to 4 months is 2 takeovers time. Mm. So what, there's 2 more TakeOver matches. So... don't know what that means, really. Like, is Io going to drop it to Rhea, and then is Rhea finally going to successfully defend against Charlotte?
Well, you'd like to see Rhea get that win over Charlotte, right?
Yeah, but like, this is not like, it's the worst possible way to set Rhea Ripley up as a contender. Yeah. Not only she took the pin, but yeah, she got beat twice. She was in the figure eight and she got the moonsault.
So right, she to, was, right like, to her face.
Right on her head. Oh, that's no.
My note here is effing L. She proper clocked her right in the face.
Hey, oh, right on noggin. Yeah, like I don't know what they're going to do if because obviously Charlotte is now fighting Ia Jax for her title tonight. What did I say? Nia Jax.
You said Nia Jax. So on that, we've actually, someone has put in a super chat, Zero West or EO Nero West 7 said, just read that Asuka's defending her title against Charlotte. Why? If they screw Asuka over again, I think I'm done. She already took her streak and the SmackDown title. So WWE Twitter, I think, and I think WWE.com announced that, yes, tonight on Raw, we're getting Asuka versus Charlotte Flair. However, some social media feeds say it's a title match, and some social media feeds say it's a non-title match. So... yeah. I guess we'll find out on Raw what the actual match is, but this does feel like a case of the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, or a decision has actually not been made as to what the match is yet.
Because I saw the match announced this morning on WWE's Instagram feed, and there was no mention of it being a title match there.
Yes. So
then I logged on to on work, and Lou was talking about how it's a title match, and I was just like, what's I don't actually know.
Yeah, I think because I said that to him because he posted up on rusttalk.com that it was a title match, and I was like, well, hang on, I've just seen this that said it's a non-title match, and he sent me across the tweet from WWE that said it is a title match. So at the moment we just don't know.
So that means that, well, worst possible case scenario is Charlotte wins the title tonight. Becomes a 12-time world title, drops it at Backlash to Nia Jax, and then beats Bayley, drops it to Sasha, comes back, beats Io in a one-on-two handicap match.
Oh, like, she could win the women's tag titles and like on her own, because that would count as two.
She could do it with Nicholas, why not? So I don't know if they are literally just trying to rush all the gold onto her. Like, best case scenario is it's a non-title match. Nia Jax comes out, clocks Asuka while the ref's back is turned, and Charlotte gets her heat back, thereby leading Asuka to go on and, you know, eat Nia Jax lunch at Backlash. But I am like, tell you what though, I don't know if this is a good thing. But I don't know with Charlotte anymore. Charlotte has reached the perfect sweet spot that sort of Roman Reigns reached, and like Goldberg and Bray Wyatt, which is that the company's track record with handling is so dodgy that I don't know what's going to happen in any match, which is, I guess, exciting. Is that how wrestling should be? Should I not be able to predict whether or not Charlotte is going to completely destroy another person's momentum at give any given notice?
What I will say, though, like, you know, outside of that topic of conversation, this was an excellent match. This main event ruled. I really, really enjoyed it. And it was just full of really good triple threat action as well. Like, I particularly loved the spot where Rhea Ripley was down in the corner. And so, and Io did the big bullet train knees into her. And as she sort of rolled out of that, she was in a kneeling position for Charlotte to hit the natural selection and roll her up for a near fall. I thought it was like was some really good stuff in that. And then you had the Io Shirai doing the big dive off the top of the In Your House set, Rhea hitting the second rope riptide. And then we got the finish with the figure eight and the moonsault into Ripley's face. I just thought it was a really, really cracking main event.
Yeah, I think it was really, really fantastic. Like it's had a kind of, for me in places, it kind of mirrored the opening match a little bit, not just because it was a women's match, but because at some points it felt like the action was almost out of the control of the hands of the people who were doing it. The main event was a lot more in sync, but there was some, like there was a point where they were like fighting on the house's front lawn. And that was real proper scrappy. Like, it didn't seem like there was any spots worked out. There was one point where Charlotte just sort of ran, cuddled Rhea and just sort of tried to take her over. And, like, someone tried to hit someone with a plant pot but missed. It generally felt like two drunk moms fighting on the front lawn. The first match as well, the six-woman tag, that felt a little... I don't know, it's weird. Like, this felt like quite a scrappy... show all told, which is not necessarily kind of completely to its detriment. I don't know if it's my favorite takeover. I don't know if it's even top 10. I'm not an In Your House kind of fan, so all the kind of nostalgia stuff didn't do anything for me really. I like the Ico Pro ad, that was fun, but there was a bit of scrappiness to some of the matches, which I kind of like. It felt a little out of control at times. And I felt a little bit about that way about this main event, but it was great. Like you say, like it was just non-stop. Three of the best workers in the country, just kind of going hell for pace and desperately trying to, you know, elevate this to something a takeover should feel like. Because it's our first no fans takeover, and even though we did have. You know, the robot crowd, you know, the pre-programmed, fully authentic, just like real life crowd of developmental talent being bullied into coming up with fun chants for Johnny Gargano. I think they tried to go so high octane that it felt like a takeover, and it didn't, but it felt like a really, really good episode of NXT for me.
Yeah. The other thing to mention as well, just before the main event, we saw Robert Stone looking very sad and a bit drunk by the looks of things, and looking a little bit like Laurel Van Ness, which is ironic because that was Chelsea Green, who he's just lost.
It did look like he was like going to take that NXT sign home. And he's like, you're going to be tomorrow's big mistake.
He's losing his mind, and I am reaping the benefits.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's do some super chats. Colostopia says, remember when Charlotte was supposed to draw more eyes for NXT and put other wrestlers over? Yep, worked out just like that. She's pinning Asuka tonight. If it's non-title, then I might even think that she is pinning her tonight. Certainly if it's non-title, because she needs to get that momentum back.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm sure this was the plan back when there were fans. And back when there were fans, people wanted to watch wrestling more. So who knows? It might have actually, increased the ratings. You know, it didn't increase the ratings over AEW. But then again, I think the AEW fans are slightly more diehard and are probably going to watch no matter the weather. Who knows? I do think it's a little unfair to say the Charlotte plan didn't work just because it didn't pop a rating. I think there are multiple layers to what Charlotte could have done. I think she achieved some of them. Match quality. In some cases, no. This match was great. Charlotte was a big part of that. She really pulled her. She did her end. The title importance. Yeah, putting it on Raw and SmackDown as a less important thing was bad. But it main evented the show, and now EO has reaped the benefits of that. It's not an automatic failure. It's just that some of it was circumstance and some of it was baffling insistence on Charlotte being the brand. Now that it's gone.
Dylan from Cork says, maybe a bit biased coming from me, but Finn Balor is the best wrestler in the company.
Man, that was my favorite match.
Actually, oh, yeah?
No, it wasn't. Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano was. although I was a little, Keith Lee versus face Johnny Gargano would have been, but I love the story in that match. I thought Finn Balor versus Damian Priest was brilliant, though. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take it back. This did feel a little bit like a takeover. The whole it feeling like a really good episode of NXT, that's not fair, because I am remembering lots of really nice takeoverish little moments, and Damian Priest bumping onto that steel steps was so good.
Josh Kirsch says, Lee versus Karrion Kross should be the next North American Championship feud. And he also adds, do you feel like we're moving out of the Cole Ciampa Gargano era of NXT and into the Lee Cross Priest Thatcher era? Last night made me feel that. Yeah, because last night we saw, Adam Cole retained, but Johnny Gargano lost, Tommaso Ciampa lost. This really was those were the stalwarts of NXT, the people that were carrying this company for quite some time. And they were there last night to put over Keith Lee and Karrion Kross.
But I don't think losses necessarily, because I know NXT has a traditional style of win, 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 lose, disappear. That's not so much the case now. Gargano is sticking around to do, the whole new NXT thing with his wife. Tommaso Ciampa was off, come up to the main roster. No, I'm staying here. So, I'm good. I think these guys are sticking around, but I do think that their presence is now to make new stars. And then, you know, feud with other people. I believe that Johnny Gargano is going to be the next North American champion. I believe that Karrion Kross is going to be not the next, but the next NXT champion after Keith Lee.
Okay. I was going to say, because I thought Keith was going to drop the belt last night.
I think he's going to drop the belt on TV. I think Johnny Gargano is going to beat him. I think Adam Cole is going to say something like, I'm the best champion. Then Keith Lee's going to come out and say, I'm the best champion. Look at my peak. Look at my pink shoes. And then Johnny Gargano is going to have a rematch. And, you know, because he can claim that Mia Yim and Candice got involved. That wasn't fair. And then Adam Cole is going to cost Keith Lee the championship. Keith Lee beats Adam Cole. Karrion Kross beats Keith Lee.
Okay. Right. Well, a bit of future fantasy book in there from Adam Blomkamp. Well, let's get into the main show itself, where Todd Pettingell made his WWE return. Remember me? They got the old music and like 90s style of editing. And then we had Code Orange play a song. It's such a Triple H production, is NXT.
Like I said, all of the In Your House stuff fell a tiny bit flat for me because I really don't like Todd Pettingell because he's annoying. He's like Michael Cole, but with less subtlety. He's from the past, so I understand why there's affection towards him, because he's not around anymore, and Michael Cole is. But Todd Pettingill is legit annoying. He's up there with, what's his name, Barker.
Not Bob Barker, but
Rob Bartlett, as like bad things that used to be in the 90s.
And they paid him a lot of money to be bad as well.
Also, like, yeah, love the nostalgia pop of, you know, Triple H bringing back the DX band, you know, to go on another well-received performance.
Hey, and it's a live episode. I can't even edit that one. The only saving grace there is that because I was also talking, the sound wave might have got a little bit messed up. So he kind of... We sort of censored ourselves live on air.
Yeah, that must be it. Anyway, yeah, Code Orange looked like a really fun time, don't they? Do you like that bit later on in the show where it cut to them behind glass, behind the plexiglass, and they were just like...
Hey, cool. Now, I like this song. I liked that. I could do without the rah-rah-rah stuff, because I think that's a bit played out in 2020. But I like her, and I think she's got a good vocal. And I also like the Fiend's entrance music. And I also like the song that Bleeding Into the Blood they did for a previous takeover. I like some Code Orange songs. I've tried to listen to a whole album. It's borderline unlistenable to, but I like some albums. Some songs even.
Glowing endorsement from someone clearly in the pocket of Big Orange.
Our first match on the card was Shotzi Blackheart, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim versus Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Candice LeRae. This was good, fun, six-woman action stuff. You had Mia Yim and Candice brawl to the back, which would then later play on into the North American Championship match. Everyone got to do their big spots. Everyone got to do some big moves. And in the end, Nox hit the chokeslam on Dakota Kai and the shiniest wizard for the babyface win.
Yeah. Like, it was nice to see Tegan Nox get a kind of definitive, like, I now have a pinfall on you on TakeOver, so we can all move on. that was nice. I really like Shotzi Blackheart getting the win after the promo she cut on her tank on a couple of NXTs ago. She's my favorite women's wrestler in NXT, like coming up. I think, yeah, Candice and Mia protected each other by getting out of there before the finish. I liked it. It felt very kind of, it felt a little inconsequential. There was a bit of story going in there, but it felt a little bit like the undercard matches on like a New Japan show. You know, yeah. Like, we don't have a lot for you guys, but here's a spot. everyone go in, remind everyone that you're around, and give the win to someone who probably needs it a bit more. It's nice to see Shotzi Blackheart pick up a win.
I said this to you. Go on.
I was just saying, after she almost died on television.
Yeah, that was quite awkward. I said to you just before we came on air that I probably would have taken this off the card. I'd have put this on the pre-show and just kept the main show down to 2 hours. But that's just me. That's just preference. Up next was a match that I'm going to let you take the lead on because you loved it so much. Damian Priest versus Finn Balor. Thought this was R-E-T.
It was great. It was. I love this incarnation of Finn Balor. But Damian Priest, the Baron Corbin we could have had. He's really good. Like
He is a good Baron.
I didn't get as much of how good Damian Priest was from his matches for the North American Championship. Like he was good, but there was always someone who was like more focused, like Keith Lee or I think it was Pete Dunne. And Roddy Strong. First proper time to see him do a takeover style match. And I thought he held his end brilliantly. Like I genuinely like it's so nice to see obviously Finn Balor wrestle with urgency and with facial expressions that aren't just
I'm here now.
And I'm happy to be here. That was Welsh towards the end.
Finn Balor or Tegan Nox, you decide.
It's a Celtic hot pot. I don't know. Like he can do good things with his legs, can't he, Damian Priest? He's genuinely like, oh, this is sort of what I kind of want Shinsuke Nakamura to be. Like someone who's just get you right with the point of his like foot, because there were so many kicks that looked like genuinely dangerous, like they really caught Finn Balor. Not much to say about this match other than I thought it was really fast paced. Both guys were great. Wonderful takeover quality bump of him just falling back. Oh, it really looked like it hurt.
Yeah. So this was Damian Priest had set up the stairs on the outside, like the bottom half of the stairs, and he went to do a razor's edge onto Finn Balor, like from the apron onto the stairs. But Balor escaped and hit a forearm and knocked him, and he just sort of did a big flat back bump onto the stairs. And it made a very sickening thud that made me feel a bit queasy on the inside.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And again, it's just a shining example of NXT proving that, yeah, you can have alignment shifts without character shifts. Like Finn Balor played the face in this match for sure, but also he caused a sickening bump to Damian Priest and then decided to be a bastard about it and get him with two coups de grace. He took it too far, and I really like the way, like, yeah, he did the coup de grace on him while he was standing up, and then he did another one right to the guts. And then I really like the way the announce team played it up as almost a mark of respect by Finn Balor being just like, I know this is what it needs to, like, I'm not just giving you the punishment you deserve, but I think this is what it will require to put you down. So unlike the previous matches where Damian Priest sort of, it felt like he lost because he had to, because he's a sort of enhancement talent to the stars, this one I thought made Damian Priest like, it elevated his stock with the company in the loss.
I was going to say, I read the finish slightly different to you in that he had to do those two coup de grace, otherwise Priest was not going to stay down. It was a way to sort of protect him in defeat a little bit, that it took that big bump onto the stairs and two finishes to actually put him down as a way to sort of protect him in this loss. Because I was surprised that Balor won. I really thought they were going to put more stock into Damian Priest. But I thought they did as well as they can do to protect him in that finish.
I think the plans are still to groom him as the face of NXT UK. Like have him be the bolt of energy that kind of gives that brand almost as like a second debut, really. So I do think like his program with Walter is still on the card. So they kind of have to keep him at a kind of a top level, kind of spin that plate until Walter's ready to get, you know, his giant baby ass handed to him. So I completely understand. Like Damian Priest could do with a win, but I'm sure there's bright, like there should be bright stuff in Damian Priest's future because he's great.
Speaking of being great, Keith Lee took on Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. Segway. Gargano started this by getting up from his table in his living room and sort of or his kitchen, walking past a photo of Doc Hendricks and leaving onto the set itself. Quite funny,
you brushed over a very crucial thing, was that he turned the thermostat in his house from 70 degrees to 69. Nice.
I was just going to say, because the Doc Hendricks thing made me laugh, is because he then posted on Twitter after the match, "Sorry, Doc, I let you down."
Also, didn't he refuse to be on the show, Doc Hendricks? Like, I've been reading that.
Really?
Apparently he loudly refused to be on it, is the wording from Sean Ross Sapp's own Fightful.com.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I should give SRS the plug, multiple-time QuizzleMania champion. But yeah, like I thought it was fun that the house is the TARDIS, like that. Yeah. I guess, but like I really like, this is probably my favorite match of the night, just because I love both guys doing it, and they told a really clear story, and I think this had like the most believable near fall, most exciting. Like this was, it had the near fall that made me sort of jump out of my chair.
Third super kick.
No, actually, the key to the eye and then the final beat. I thought, oh, that's not
bad. Right. Because I had two of these. Because I had the one with the key to the eye and the DDT, but also when he was just super kicking him constantly. I thought he was gonna get it on that third super kick, the third meet in the middle.
No. So, the story told here was, it'd been set up. Was really, really good. Working two body parts, working the hand and the eye. And using that to justify why the smaller guy like constantly had Keith Lee on the ropes. Luke, he pounced him through the plexiglass, which is very unsanitary, but was awesome looking.
It was cool looking. I really, really enjoyed this match. It wasn't quite the five-star classic I was anticipating it to be, but I think that would have worked had this been a face Keith Lee versus face Johnny Gargano, just, you know, two of the best wrestlers doing the best wrestling that they can. Whereas this one was more all about the story, which is, you know, there's nothing to take away from the match because that worked really well for it. I'm looking forward to these two doing more matches. Because I just love the way both of them work. I think Johnny's so great. This new character for him is really, really cool. And Keith's just brilliant. Keith is just absolutely amazing. And he picked up the win to retain the North American Championship. I really thought that, as I said earlier in the show, I thought Gargano was going to get the win here, because I was like, Keith is going to be NXT champion. Surely he's going to be the guy to beat Cole.
Yeah, I do think that is the plan. The reason why I would have predicted Johnny Gargano, but I actually predicted Keith Lee in the predictions video for a number of things. One of which is that I think there's a better way to get the belt off Lee involving Adam Cole. I think if you want to really kind of push that, kind of promote Keith Lee to the top thing. Also, yeah, just the wrong weekend to have Keith Lee lose, especially if you've already pre-taped the Velveteen Dream losing. Obviously Keith Lee walked out with Black Lives Matter on his trunks, and pretty much absolutely. And as soon as that happened, I was just like, yeah, Keith Lee is retaining, and I am glad that he did.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. As soon as, like, when he came out with the Black Lives Matter, which, because of course they do. I was like, I think he's probably, I picked the wrong guy to win here.
yes.
Yeah.
But I'm really digging this kind of, and I know a lot of people, especially considering like this new era of NXT and especially takeovers, have sort of been built off the back of Johnny Gargano going for 40 minutes and doing a million moves. I'm kind of into the idea of a fewer moves, Johnny, just like someone who, someone more calculating, who, you know, I'm sure will have big long takeover classics again, but someone who has a bit more story in their matches. Cause I think, Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole, and I think we'll talk about this in a little bit, they both suffer from excesses, and I think which is why the Cole Gargano matches got ridiculous in the end and unwieldy and bloaty and eventually kind of they kind of disconnected you emotionally. Like, at no point did I feel in any way kind of disconnected from this match. Yes, I think there's a more high octane match in both these guys, but this was like, for how focused it was as a story, that 20 minutes flew by.
Yeah, it really did.
And it makes me want to see them fight again, which is, that's the thing, is like, sometimes you can have the big takeover match with a million moves, but sometimes it leaves you so exhausted, be just like, I don't want to see them fight again. I want to see Keith Lee and Johnny Gargano have another match, whereas I don't want to see Gargano and Adam Cole have another match.
Well, speaking of Adam Cole, he defended the NXT Championship against the Velveteen Dream in a backlot brawl. And I don't know if this is a controversial take, but I did not like this. I would say that this was the weakest cinematic match that we've had in this cinematic era by some margin.
Interesting. I definitely think... I don't know. Because it had stuff that I liked. Like, I liked the fact it had commentary.
Yes.
Which I think really hurt Final Beat and hurt a lot of...
Money in the Bank.
I like the fact it had commentary. I liked lots of the little bits of it. I think the only reason I didn't like it is just because I didn't hugely care about either guy in it.
I never bought into Velveteen Dream winning at all.
No, that's the thing. Because everyone's heard the rumors he was being called up. Take those with a pinch of salt, because obviously it's not happening with Io, but he's cooled off massively without a crowd and since everything. But Adam Cole feels like he's held the belt for too long. So like it was just a case of just like, oh, I don't really like, I'm not champing at the bit to see either of these guys win, which is always going to hurt a match, especially a title match.
Mm.
I didn't hate it. Like, it, you know, I liked him arriving on a monster truck, Dexter Lumis driving off with the Undisputed Era. Where was Kyle O'Reilly? Is that something I've missed?
I don't know. But yeah, like, yes, Dexter Lumis took it. To the people, it was Fish and Strong that came down to help Adam Cole during this with Dexter Lumis interference, which was, you know, fun. I think why this didn't work for me is because this was the... And perhaps this is a controversial opinion. This was the first cinematic match that was actively trying to take itself seriously. So I don't care what you said. The Boneyard match was goofy comedy. Like, it was like, I don't think the pair of them stood there saying like, we're making something that is super cool and people are going to take seriously. Firefly Funhouse was obviously a very serious thing, but I think that's slightly different. Money in the Bank was all out wacky comedy. You know, Dana Brooke eliminated herself from that match by slipping on wet floors. And the Stadium Stampede was a comedy match as well. But this was a cinematic match that was actively trying to be serious and be like an actual match and be filmed in a sort of action-y style, which at times made me feel a bit seasick. But then oddly, they had a moment where an Uber car arrived and said, did someone call an Uber? And I'm like, that was the moment where the match lost me.
Yeah, it's like, what happens in the street? Oh, I know. I think one final beat took itself more seriously than this.
Yeah, yeah. Or
also to its detriment, I might add. Yeah, like, don't know. I think this stuff parlays with, like, it adds to stuff that I didn't quite like about the show, which is that NXT is supposed to feel a little bit punk, right? It's supposed to feel like rawer, more adrenaline, less kind of like self-conscious production. And the stuff with the set, the goofball commercials, like, this is the most main roster NXT's felt in a while. And I don't want to be being like I'm overreacting and saying that NXT's jumped the shark. That's not the case. Please don't use that as the pull quote for this video. But
it's definitely... tomorrow on Wrestle Talk Clips.
Yeah, there you go, with my glowing eyes. Thanks, Vinny. I don't know. This, it felt the least punk out of any takeover I've ever seen. And I'm sure that's got something to do with the 90s branding, but just like fighting around a house, fighting on the front lawn, throwing plant pots around, Todd Pettingill, Adam Cole doing an admittedly very good Bret Hart impression with the Ico Pro or the Ico Pro. How do you say that's what Ico Pro is all about?
All about.
It's not Terrence and Phillips. Like, that's what Ico Pro is all about. So being a champion, and that is what Ico Pro is that is what Ico Pro.
Am I in a fever dream at the moment? I feel like your internet is looping.
Wake up, Luke, wake up. Please, Luke, just wake up. Your family is here, Luke. You have to wake up.
Slide update. I was just checking the chat as well. Kyle O'Reilly's because he's diabetic, so he's not doing anything because of COVID-19.
Oh,
because of Steve Corino stuff, yeah. Which makes sense. But yeah, during this as well, there was a moment when Adam Cole got pushed off a ladder onto a windshield and slashed his arm open, which was conspicuously dried by the time the next shot came around. But you know, there was some stuff in this, and the finish saw Adam Cole hit the Canadian Destroyer onto a pile of chairs for the win. I was happy because I finally got a point because I've been doing terribly on predictions up until this part of the show, so that was good. But yeah, it wasn't for me. I did forget the Gargano Ciampa match when I said that this was the first one to take itself seriously, which is totally on me. But yeah, it, for whatever reason, this just didn't work for me.
Yeah, like I thought it was fine. I don't necessarily want to see goofy NXT, but that is, again, a personal taste thing. And if you got something out of this match, and indeed the show as a whole, great. I just like, it's not what I come to NXT for. So yeah, like for me, like the problems with the match were that it's an NXT championship match that felt like it belonged in the middle of the card because of Adam Cole, you know, looking like he's either done with NXT or done with WWE or whatever the rumor mill is at the moment.
He's sticking around now. That's the new, well, yeah. So as an update to that, which is what we did on Friday, Alex McCarthy is saying that he actually signed a new deal last year, signed an extension. So he's actually there for a number of years now.
Okay. So, but yeah, it feels like his NXT stuff is wrapping up, and everyone knew that Dream wasn't the guy, not now. And so, yeah, it just like it felt very inconsequential.
Yeah. According to our own WrestleTalk.com's Louis Dangor, Velveteen Dream staying in NXT as well. The call-up rumors, apparently it had been discussed, but he is sticking with NXT for the moment. So who knows why that decision was made. And the last match for us to talk about was the Karrion Kross squash over Tommaso Ciampa. Like, this was a 6-minute squash match. Karrion Kross did his big entrance. Tommaso Ciampa came out, and Karrion Kross beat the ever loving hell out of him. Ciampa did get a near fall off the widow's bell, but he escaped the fairy tale ending and locked in the Kross jacket, and Ciampa faded out. It was a very, very dominating win for Karrion Kross and made him look amazing.
Hell yeah. Loved it. What a
this was
great.
Story.
If you're going to do it properly. And they did this properly. Yeah, Ciampa came in and was this sacrificial lamb, sacrificial cham. And that, the kind of the throw onto the ring apron, oh my God, that was the most horrible spot of the night. That's what I come to NXT for. Borderline two dangerous spots and superstars getting huge, iconic wins. Yeah, absolutely wonderful. It's just nice to see kind of a company as excited about a wrestler as we are. Like, as soon as Karrion Kross came out and we saw his entrance for the first time, he's like, that's money. It's only a matter of time before he is NXT champion. And yeah, it's just nice to, you know, not worry about making Tommaso Ciampa look strong, trusting that the fans' respect in him will, you know, last him through this loss, that there is a more interesting story to be told in defeat. It's just, again, like an example of why NXT has maybe earned our patience in some places. It occasionally, and actually more occasionally than not, makes absolutely the right decision. And yeah, wonder, like, it's so rare to say, like, what a wonderful squash match that was. it was, man. Karrion Kross is a world beater. Looked brilliant. And also,
he did look really good.
A lot of people, now that they've said it, say, I can't, like, if you went on the roids, Luke, it's nice. Isn't it nice to have something to aspire to?
Well, I don't know, because it's either that, but someone in the chat earlier said that I look like Brandon Cutler. So, like, it's...
So it's sort of like,
hold on. I've got a D20 here as well. I'll roll out a D20. I've got an 18.
Nice. Very good. I think you're Pichu. Brandon Cutler is Pikachu. And then Karrion Kross is Raichu.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. So that was the show overall. I thought it was a really good NXT takeover. Like you said earlier, like I don't think it's ever going to be in my top 10 takeovers of all time. But man, like it's NXT very rarely, you know, hit the wrong notes. And this was there were no wrong notes really hit on this night. I didn't like the NXT Championship match much, but it's not like I outwardly hated it. It just wasn't my flavor of ice cream. I thought the women's triple threat was great. I thought Karrion Kross looked amazing. I really enjoyed Keith Lee, Johnny Gargano, Finn Balor's great. And the six women tag was really good as well. So yeah, overall, I thought it was a really pretty good show.
Yeah, really felt the lack of crowd or the lack of an authentic crowd. There were some bits that kind of like were a bit kind of like, ooh, like this all seems a bit scrappy, a bit messy. I don't like goofy stuff. But like all that being said, like the general match quality, also 2.5 hours long. Yes, please.
Love
a show under 3 hours. Absolutely. Take more of them. Generally speaking, like it's a good evening. NXT very rarely put on a bad night's work. And I don't think it's going to be remembered as one of the great takeovers in the way that like, you might say Dallas or New Orleans, but a fun night.
Let's have a look at some of your super chats. Gazzatola of Rock and Roller over on the support link, which can be found there, says, Adam, you've mentioned a love of board games a lot recently. Have you played Zombie N1, Surviving the Undead Apocalypse in the sunny Sussex city of Brighton? It's really fun if you haven't heard of it.
So I used to manage a place in London called Drafts, and Zombie N1 was one of the games that we had. It's a roll and move, so that's not my bag. I've heard like it got a lot of play, I think, because it's got zombies in it, and most people seem to like it. It's just roll and move, and also it's a bit ugly. Like if you look up what the game looks like, you'd be just like, "Ooh, was that made in paint?" So difficult, but like I saw a lot of people playing it, and I haven't played it, so I do reserve judgment. But yeah, like I'm stoked that you like it. If I can find a cheap copy, I might try it, but like it's not the game that I'm rushing out to go play.
Just had a look at it now, and I agree. Also, Drafts is where I used to go playing D&D. Get that D20 again. Oh, it was a 2 that time. Not as good.
they both add up to a 20.
They do. So that's going to be cast asunder into my other box, which is where bad dice go to stay until they've learned their lesson.
A real change in our dynamic when I worked at Drafts, because there a whole bunch of times where I served you food and drink, Luke Owen. What a weird time that was. Any complaints about about my tenure as a manager at Drafts? Was there anything I could have improved upon?
Yeah, you could get rid of effing Jenga. Just stop people playing Jenga in that place. It's too echoey for Jenga.
We really try and get people to play a game called Rhino Hero, especially Rhino Hero Super Battle, because that is basically building a tower like Jenga, but you're using cardboard. So when it falls over, it's silent, as opposed to... And then everyone bursts out in shrill, horrible... just like echoey, cacophonous laughter.
It's very hard to roleplay a character in D&D when there is just clattering Jenga. And it is always Jenga. Like, there is always some group playing Jenga.
Oh, yes.
So nothing against you is the clientele. Pavi, Sean Ross Sapp's number one fan, said, pretty sure why Charlotte wasn't every show is because Vince wanted her back. Pretty sure she dropped the NXT title because she's going to be back on the main roster. I mean, you kind of answered your own question there, Pavi. Like, she never left the main roster when she was NXT champion. Josh Kirsch said, who's going to take the title off of Keith Lee, Cole, and Io Shirai? Well, Adam's already sort of answered that one. As for, I'm not sure about Shirai, but she's only just won it, so I'm not going to be in the boat of who should take it off of her, because I like to enjoy someone's title run before we get into that sort of booking.
Yeah, I mean, I live a horrible empty existence, and all I can think about is just like trying to see the blueprints and the schematics. I can't experience joy in the moment. I can only experience joy if I'm ever proven right about something. So I think it's going to be either Rhea Ripley or Charlotte Flair taking it off here. Sure.
Azo Smith said, totally stoked that this was the first women's match to main event a takeover since Banks versus Bayley, the Iron Man match. But does Rhea go up to the main roster now?
No, I don't think so. I don't think her story is done. NXT, I think, is smart enough. Like, one of the things that they really pushed about Rhea Ripley is that her loss at WrestleMania destroyed her, like ruined her year. And like, there was one line that she said in a video package, I think it was in the Go Home NXT, where she says, like, I don't care anymore. I have to get my title back. And that suggests to me that there may be either a tweener or a heel turn coming. And I think that I would be interested in face Io Shirai versus heel Rhea Ripley as a sort of stopgap feud. I think maybe Rhea would take it from there, and then maybe like a redemption story with Charlotte, perhaps. That is just literally me spitballing off the top of my head. But I don't think Rhea is going anywhere. I think her story is rooted in NXT, as opposed to Charlotte's, who she can go anywhere and do whatever she wants.
Josh again says, Karrion Kross will be the face of WWE in 3 years. And as Triple H have said, that people will be moving from to NXT from the main roster. So who do you guys like to see go back to NXT? I'd like Nakamura, Zayn, and Cesaro. Cesaro and Nakamura for sure. And actually Sami Zayn on that, for that matter.
Yeah, please send Sami Zayn back. Please. I'll pay his train fare. Yeah, I really want to see Sami Zayn kind of come back and reclaim his NXT. I know that's a story that every main roster guy does. Like, Finn Balor came back and said, this is my house. Charlotte Flair came back and said, this is my house. But like, if anyone's got claim to that, who still works for WWE, it's Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
That is his house. And I really think he could be the face of NXT again.
Nathan Ortiz says, what killed the backlot brawl was the lights. It felt like a Michael Bay movie. And on that note, Valab Mamadipudi said, backlot brawl, the production was disappointing. Camera work was shaky, out of focus. And that being said, what next for the Velveteen Dream? Yeah, as I said, I didn't particularly like the shaky cam aspect of it. It's like, it's one of those, well, WWE, yeah, we make films, but then you're like, oh yeah, but you make B movie films, like bad Netflix action movies is what you make.
Oh, and the occasional weird bit of David Lynch alter cinema in the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah. And James Williams says Carl is diabetic, so he's at risk of Carino. S said, seeing people disappointed that this wasn't at the level of most takeovers, when the original concept of an In Your House was to be a B-Tech pay-per-view, in my honest opinion.
Sure. I guess. I think back in the day, the idea was to put out something that was less substantial, charge less, but could do it more often. It's not.
And they were like, they were only like an hour and a half as well.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, the glory days. That's not really NXT's MO. It was very much just a kind of like, please watch the show. Here's a thing you remember. You remember Todd Pettingill, right? We miss crowds. We don't know how to do wrestling anymore. What do you want? Do you remember this? It's 25 years ago. So that means it's good. Look, it's a house. It's like, I don't think the takeover vibe and the In Your House vibe gel like at all. And I, you know, it's a freak one-shot novelty vibe.
Yeah. I mean, like, Gorilla Position is a podcast I absolutely love. Like, I've not heard their review. I don't know when their review is coming out, but I can guarantee that sort of James D'Lo and Skillet and those lot who are the fan, you know, they were the fans that grew up during that In Your House period will have absolutely loved the aesthetic of this and will love that Todd was on the show and references to Doc Hendricks and things like that. So it's very much targeted to that audience, which ironically, you know, the over 50 audience is NXT's strongest demographic. So maybe this was the right call to do. Aliens Existed. I think I might just be jaded, but I thought that the backlot brawl had a lot of awkward imagery considering the recent protests. Watching a black man be kicked in the streets just feels wrong right now.
I mean, it was, when was it filmed?
Like, I don't know, to be honest. Ago, right? Yeah. I mean, they filmed stuff for Backlash that's coming this weekend. So I'd imagine they probably filmed it. Yeah. Sometime. I don't know. Well, last week, I would have thought.
I think it's definitely over a week ago they filmed it, which is not, you know, obviously to say that it's still not a distressing image. I just don't think, I think had the protests happened when they were filming, I don't think they would have seen like this much imagery. Maybe I don't know. WWE is a little bit tone deaf at times, but not NXT. So yeah, like I think I can totally understand and think it's totally valid for someone to feel uncomfortable watching that. I think like I'm so kind of like wrestling is such a kind of escape, especially characters like Velveteen Dream, like, and Adam Cole, like I didn't like that, didn't like affect me too much. But then again, like I am so privileged that it probably wouldn't affect me. Yeah. And I definitely recognize that.
Ken Melville said, so Asuka's being pinned or is she tapping to the figure eight on Raw? I mean, if it's non-title, yeah, but if it's for the title, I can see a screwy finish. I don't want to think about it. DJ the second, is Tony Khan all right with WrestleTalk writing the Greatest Showman promo for WWE? For real though, did they straight up steal that from you? Well, I think they're just leaning into the fact that everyone was making fun of them for the Greatest Showman thing, so they're just leaning into it now and just making it like you can't make fun of them for being the Greatest Showman if they're using the Greatest Showman as a thing, because it's like, well now I can't make fun of you really because now you're using it.
Yeah, that's bullying 101. If you, yeah, you take the power away from the bullies, they've got nothing. Terrible bullies that are WrestleTalk.
Mega Mr. 46 says, keep the main roster leeches out of NXT. And Young Samurai 18 says, Charlotte beating Asuka is my nightmare. Kwalu TV says, spoiler, Keith Lee is amazing. Walter will drop the title to Ilya Dragunov eventually. They want that match, you can tell. Yes, I did watch NXT UK before it stopped. By the way, have you read my email, Adam?
Oh, I don't think I have. I know who Kwalu TV is. Have I? Let me check.
He also says as well, how dare you, Luke? I love that shirt, but man, Dexter Lumis was in that main event. Therefore, the backlot brawl was 5 stars. Look.
Yes. He does love Dexter Lumis a great deal as well.
Travon Clark says, watch Goldberg come in and squash Karrion Kross.
Oh, God. Why do you hate us and the world? And just to respond, I did get Walu's email. He sent me an email about his favorite board game, which is a German game called Das Duel um die Geld, which is the duel for the money. It sounds interesting. I am up for it. I need to kind of give it another read because I only gave it a quick skim last night. But yes, thank you for your email.
And Travian asks if the lineup for QuizzleMania 11 is set. It is. And you will see those announcements later on. In about 2 hours' time, you'll see who is on the show.
Yeah, we'll be announcing it at 6. We're trying to do that every week now. So 6 p.m. UK time on a Monday is when we'll announce the guest and also push the kind of the lobby for that stream live. Yeah. So you can go in there, you can book your reminders, you can even start chatting and like, you know, talking crap about Sean Ross, which is something that we very much enjoy.
Yes. So we'll be announcing the guest or guests at 6 p.m. tonight, UK time. Keith says, hey, all, been a huge fan of the channel for months now, and I thoroughly enjoyed starting my everyday on the right foot with a new video for that day. Keep up all the great work. Cheers. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
The Zorni says, shout out to the wonderful moderators. Thank you all. Indeed. Thank you all to all of our moderators doing amazing work. Dylan from Cork said, 3 things are guaranteed in life: death, taxes, and Adam swearing on a WrestleTalk video. Also, your attempts at an Irish accent never fail to make me smile.
I'm glad that you take it in good fun, because there is another way you could take it.
I don't know what you mean. Mr. Fretz says, just wanted to say it's
what ICO Pro is all about. All that. Okay. So he said, so so that is what ICO Pro is all about.
Enough. Mr. Fret says, just wanted to say it's great to see Adam reviewing wrestling again. Hashtag support each other. Rangers Mayhem saying, watching Stephen Larson stream last night, they in the chat joked about Priest and Corbin being a tag team by the end of the year.
Yes, that would be great.
Chocobo Kid said, I thought the backlot brawl was going to have no ring and the cars in the circle was going to be that ring. Do you think that would have been better? I don't think the ring was the thing that was the problem with it, to be honest.
No. I think the ring was the least of your worries. Just a combination of underwhelming things.
Azo Smith says, do you think the formation of Tegan and Shotzi, as well as Dakota and Raquel, could lead to Banks and Bayley coming down to NXT for an open challenge?
I don't know if Tegan and Shotzi are a thing. I think, they won together, embraced each other, and they also did something backstage or so. Like, I think there was one other shot of them doing something on the show. Don't know if that puts them together. Kind of hope not, just because I really am digging Shotzi's gimmick, and I think Tegan needs to find something for herself. I guess if there are going to be women's tag team champions, there should be at least a division for it, even if it is one division across the entire company. So, that would be a good match. So,
yeah. Aliens Exist has got a follow-up to his comment from earlier, saying that it's in reference to the backlot brawl, feeling a bit uncomfortable for them, said, if they filmed before, I don't think it's intentional or anything like that. It was just a little unfortunate. Yes. Yeah.
100%.
And lastly, from Nathan Ortiz, thoughts on Velveteen Dream coming out as Negan? Now, I'll be honest with you, Nathan. I read Walking Dead comics when I was at university, 16 years ago at this point. But 16 years ago, I had my first year of university. I've watched the full first season of the Walking Dead TV series and thought it was broadly fine, and I haven't seen anything since. And even then, I gave up on the comics as well.
Yeah, I stuck with the comics for quite a bit. Like, I loved them when they first came out. Like, all that stuff's like straight through to like the prison was just unbelievable. Never really been interested in the Walking Dead TV show. And I think I haven't read a Walking Dead comic in about a year. But like the Negan stuff was fine. I just like, he always felt like he had something, like he always had a reason for dressing weird. Like, you know, it's like wherever he was in a place, like, you know, his New York entrance was fantastic. The shots at Hulk Hogan I thought were like, you know, were quite multi-layered, could be read as multiple things. Either he is, you know, just an old school character as well as an old school fan, or taking shots at Hogan because of, you know, Hogan's things that he said. I think putting Roderick Strong's family on his tights, you know, like they always seem to be something at work, whereas this just felt like a bit of random cosplay. It felt like that Velveteen G was just going, ooh, I'm a bit quirky, me. Look how I'm dressed this week. What might I be dressed as next week? What am I like? And again, I think it contributes towards the general feeling that like Velveteen Dream probably should go away for a bit and come back when there are people around, just because his gimmick just doesn't quite translate to no fans.
Well, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you all so much for watching/listening or washing if you're doing that at the same time.
Wash your hands, everyone.
Wash your hands. I have been Luke Owen. This has been Adam the Blompier, and that was Wrestling Toodles. Goodbye.
Sorry for swearing. Sorry.
It's all right. Goodbye. Sorry. Goodbye. Sorry.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.